Hello, everyone. I am Casual Jake.
And I am Connor, aka Taito.
And we are so excited to bring you episode one of the MTG Educators Network podcast.
Let's go.
Cue some music. I don't know. I'll do that in post. It'll be something great. I'm a musician. I should come up with that, right?
Like confetti.
Oh, Connor. Yeah, exactly. Confetti. I'll do aural confetti. Wonderful. Well, Connor, I'm so excited that we're doing this. You know, the Educators Network started as a tweet. I'm sure you know. So I'm just going to, again, talk real fast. My name is Casual Jake. I'm a Twitch streamer. I make YouTube content about Magic the Gathering. And I'm also a member of a team called Elder Dragon Skypelander, who streams paper EDH. We originally started, you know, over Skype. So even though we use Zoom now, we still maintain the name to stay true to our heritage. And Connor, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, my name is Connor. I'm an educator in Massachusetts. I teach mostly history, but I also dabble in some English language arts. I'm what I like to call a wannabe content creator. I've wanted to be a content creator forever. I've dabbled in YouTube. I've dabbled in Twitch. I've wanted to start podcasts forever, but my career obviously always took a priority. So this is a great way to meld both of those. I can do stuff with my career as an educator, but also talk about one of my favorite games in the world, which of course is Magic the Gathering. It's the reason we're all here. So I'm super excited for this, and I am ready to talk magic and education.
Same. And I should probably mention the education side of my introduction, which I'm a middle school choir director. I got all the fun magic stuff, but day by day, and I love my job. I'm a middle school choir director. So yeah, getting onto the story of the network. So through my content creation personally, I found that I was just meeting teachers indirectly. I would post, you know, like, hey, stream starting late because, you know, I had to finish up at school and stuff like that. And I would just get these other creators who would reach out and say, you know, oh, you teach. That's cool. I'm a teacher too. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool to kind of just connect with other teachers who play Magic? I don't know, maybe do some content together or just talk about stuff. Just, you know, to when you're interested in the similar stuff, you tend to be friends, you know. So I put a tweet out there that was like, hey, I'm trying to connect to as many teachers who play Magic as possible. And wow, it blew up. I'm just curious, is that how we got connected, Connor?
Yeah, I came in, I was so upset. I'll be honest with you, I saw the tweet and I saw it at 130 responses or something already. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get left behind. Like, this is perfect. Like, nah, I can totally be in on this. But then, of course, like, the idea came of getting a Discord server back up or up together for all of us. So I was like, oh, I'm totally in on that. I think I was in, like, the first, like, 12 people that joined or something like that. So
for sure. You were eager.
Super eager. I love talking about magic. I love talking about teaching. And I like meeting other teachers. I honestly think that talking and hanging out with teachers is, like, the best thing in the world. I love going out with like for food with my coworkers and my colleagues, dating a teacher. So
congratulations. I'm sorry. Y'all are both balding at the moment.
Oh my God.
With instruction,
yeah. Which we'll definitely get to. So I love talking to other teachers. And I think that teachers are some of the most like honest and caring people on the planet. And we're all very passionate about what we do. So I was super excited to get connected to a bunch of people that shared my career and also shared a hobby with me.
Sure. So exactly. So to go from the tweet, I think you transitioned well there. I kind of, because it blew up so much, I said, oh, well, we need a way to get all these people involved. I don't want to leave anyone out, like you mentioned, Connor. So I said, let's start a Discord server where people can talk. And I was real specific with my moderators that I want there to be space for people to talk about magic that's separate from teacher stuff in case, you know, different people wanted, you know, to maybe escape teaching, talk about magic, or they want to focus on the professional aspect. It's really, there's a lot of goals and we'll get into those. But from that, you know, I just want to talk a little bit about what the MTG Education Educators Network stands for, our goals and our objectives. First one is to provide a network for educators who play Magic. So again, like I mentioned, it could be a professional network or it could just be a network of friends, people that you hang out with, people you play webcam games with or you play with on Arena. So just a network for us teachers, these like-minded people to connect.
Yeah, I definitely think that's super important. One of the things that definitely in my own personal life when I play with my playgroup is, yeah, I can vent about work, but they don't necessarily get it as much as other educators do.
Right.
And I think that's really important for our next goal, which is to provide a space for members to discuss the game, teaching, and how they kind of relate to each other. So one of the goals that we talked about, at least you and I personally, was we wanted to make sure that anyone that wanted to be a part of this network could get out of it what they wanted. So we wanted a spot for people to get Magic content. We wanted a spot for people to get teaching content. And we wanted people a spot for people to get a hybrid of those two. You know, we're going to use that word hybrid. And we're all talking about hybrid right now.
Oh, man, the buzzword. Bam, 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 bam.
So we want to get a hybrid of those two pieces of content, right? A bunch of us could probably read pedagogical, educational articles until the cows come home. I'm not one of those people. I want to read about Magic. But I also can appreciate the combination of the two. So what I might want out of the network is probably different than what you want and what another person wants. So that was really something that we wanted to be able to do, is provide anything that an educator who plays Magic could want from this network.
For sure, for sure. And to go off of that, we're also trying to, another goal of ours is to provide a space for educators who are content creators to collaborate. Again, this started as a, hey, I want to make some content, you know, maybe make a video about how does teaching relate to your Magic playing and vice versa. There's a kind of a head experiment. And then with all this going, I was like, wow, there's so many people who, and of course, it makes sense, teachers making content. Wow, it's called lesson planning, you know, that there's so many that create content. So this is a space not only for myself, but for other people to make content, to collaborate, whether that be Magic related or teaching related.
Yeah, exactly. And again, those people that are content creators that are teachers, and all teachers really are content creators. It just depends on whether they're content creating for entertainment purposes on the internet or in their own classrooms. The final goal that we really cared about, especially with everything that's going on in the world, is to support our fellow educators in anything they're doing. It's that simple, right? We're all, the world is in a real weird place right now, specifically the United States. And I think that we all really need to be here for each other. I know having, again, like my girlfriend is a teacher, some of my best friends are teachers, having those support groups is super important. And our colleagues are very supportive. And now that we have this network, I think we're almost at 100 members. If not, I actually didn't check today, we might have hit it. That's another 90 something people that can support me, and we can support each other. So I think that support group is really, really important. And I think that's also part of the reason why we started this podcast, right? Definitely one of the purposes of the podcast.
Right, because as well as my tweet got out and got a lot of likes and whatnot, I think that having a I don't want to say a product, but a unified voice, if you will, is one of the purposes of this podcast, so that we can present that, share that with other people, and then that can travel and then find people. Now, you mentioned, you know, specifically some issues here in the United States with education. We do have teachers from around the world currently. I've met teachers in this Discord server from Australia, from Europe. I even met some teachers who are teaching in Asia.
I think I saw Philippines, right?
Yeah. So this network is not, I had a lot of people, they're like, oh, well, I'm a counselor. Does that count? I'm like, well, you're part of a child's education. Yes, that counts. Oh, well, I'm in higher ed. Okay, so you're training like the next group of people who are about to enter the workforce. You know, this network is very broad for a reason. You know, we cast a wide net, catch a lot of teachers so that we can share them. So that's one thing, is this podcast is a unified voice, and it's not just Connor and Jake here, but we're going to be having lots of guests featuring lots of teachers who are going to speak on a multitude of things, which I think maybe you can talk about.
Yeah. So I think one of the best things, right, is that not everyone is going to be able to check the Discord server every day, right? And maybe not everyone is going to want to use a Discord server, and that's okay.
Sure.
But a big thing that a lot of people do like nowadays are podcasts and things that they can listen to while they're driving to work, or maybe lesson planning, right? And I think that a really good thing that we could talk about during those times and for people to listen to us is relevant topics, whether it's teaching or Magic, right? Today, you know, to date this podcast, Uro got banned in Standard. That's a huge deal to a lot of people that are playing Standard, right? That meta is going to get completely shaken up, or it'll just be four color Omnath for the next few months.
It's still going to be four color Omnath.
So I think that's a really relevant topic to Magic. I think that in this time of uncertainty, where a lot of people are either remote or hybrid and are going to have to do clubs virtually, the ability to start tabletop gaming clubs virtually is going to be something that we can talk about. And that's definitely something that is near and dear to my heart. I had to leave my district last year to get the current job that I have. And I had started a gaming club there, and I loved that gaming club, and I had planned to continue it. And I haven't been able to do that at my current new district, right? So I think that those are topics that are going to, they're going to mesh between our Magic fans, who are educators, our educators who are Magic fans, and everything in between, right? So I think that we need to give people a place where they can hear these ideas, or even just listen, like, hey, these guys think like me. These guys and gals all think like me. So I think that that's really important.
Right. And plus, teachers just have a great way of taking information and complex ideas and breaking them down well. So I think that people who are non-educators will enjoy this podcast, you know, especially when we're talking about standard. I mean, who better to talk about the standard metagame than people who like analyze things, analyze data, see trends, and, you know, teachers, and they just have such a good way with words. So I think that's important. And to go with that, we also have to provide a platform for members to share their knowledge. Again, teachers are, as I like to say, I'm also a student, you know, as a teacher. I even tell my my students this, that I'm never above learning something. My students teach me every day, you know, whether it be the littlest thing to some big revelations about myself or about music. When we listen to other people and we share knowledge, the world becomes a better place because we're sharing ideas, we're sharing knowledge, right. We're sharing perspective. And so this podcast, like I said, is not a two-person thing. This is for everyone in the network to put in, to input and to get stuff out of as well.
Yeah, and I credit content creators with being able to play Magic the way I do. Magic started out with me as something that I got introduced to by a friend at the age of 13. And then it wasn't until I got to college and I found actually Day Nine's series where he played with the intro decks.
I love Day Nine.
Was it Spellslingers, yeah. Right?
Spellslingers.
Yeah, man, Spellslingers. Actually,
yeah, I love that. When I was getting into Magic, that was an access point for me.
For real. So I learned how to play like some of the biggest things that I learned were from that and then like Star City Games versus like waiting mm-hmm. to do things at instant speed. That was something it didn't fit into my brain. So that's a thing
right.
That
I can play on your turn.
Yeah.
Like, wait.
Yeah, like it's crazy. Awesome. So
and then we became filthy blue players.
So I learned, right? I was a student to their teacher. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I feel like we can do too, whether it's teaching people to play Magic better, make better decks, be better content creators, be better teachers, be more inclusive, any of those topics, right? And I think that one of the best ways that we can maybe do that is through Twitch. And I'll let you introduce Twitch because you're definitely the more seasoned streamer here.
Seasons, an interesting word. I will take you through a quick synopsis of my Twitch affiliation going through that. Was I started streaming as a graduate student out of my one bedroom apartment on a Mac. You know, I had downloaded Windows onto a Mac so I could play Arena because this was before, you know, Arena was on Mac and whatnot. And it was the jankiest and most, what's it called?
Glitchy, buggy,
or whatever. Yeah, glitchy, buggy thing in the world. Ugh. But it was cool because I got to play Magic and usually my girlfriend was in chat. My best friend was in chat always hanging out. And then like, you know, random people here and there. And for me, that was enough. And then when I started streaming EDH, Paper EDH with my friends, we really blew up and my channel started getting a lot more traction. Because of that, I've been able to be sponsored by Wizards for their content creator program. I've done like early access with them and lots of cool stuff. But again, to humble beginnings, you know. But I learned a lot through teaching and I learned a lot about how teaching and content creation all go together. And there's definitely a lot of skills from Twitch that I think I take into my teaching. And maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so one of the sentences that I've already kind of alluded to it that I always go back to is teachers are the content creators of the real world, right? If we don't want to, and I did air quotes, I just realized that we have video on, but you guys won't see. So teachers are the content creators of the real world, and they've been content creators of the real world for decades, right? Teachers will go home, they'll plan out lessons, which is content, right? And the other thing so when you look at someone maybe like YouTubers or even like TikTokers, Twitters, even Twitch people that will go and plan out a stream and say, this is probably going to be the best stream that I can do and the best content I can make on this stream. Teachers have been doing that for decades, if not centuries. So I think that that's why you might find a lot of times that content creators are teachers or teachers make good content creators because we do it. That's been our life. That's been our acceptable job in the eyes of the of the real world for a long time. So, and I think that there's some really important skills that those of us that have streamed on Twitch, and I also have streamed on Twitch enough times. I used to stream Super Smash Brothers a lot competitively. I'm a big Destiny guy. I have streamed Magic and I want to stream more Magic. So there's also some skills that I think both of us have learned and has really come in handy, especially this year.
Yeah, for sure. I would say monitoring chat, anyone. You know, I think about the times and to stream, it's an extreme skill because you really, if you're going for... if you notice, I've watched a lot of streams as well, especially as I grow as a content creator. And I noticed the people who generally play better are not paying attention to chat.
Right.
But I also enjoy the people who play a little bit worse, but they're paying attention to chat, you know, and they're interacting and whatnot. And so me personally, I've been a person who I always wanted to interact with chat with everyone in there. And so being able to kind of have that and still be able to play a highly complex game, that, you know, I mean, Magic is a, you know, I think it was, there was some article that was talking about, like, it's the most complicated game in the world. You know, even like computers couldn't figure it all the way out, stuff like that, when they can do chess. So being able to focus from one screen to the other, interact with both, monitor both, I think that's a school, or that's a school, I believe that's a skill that is applicable to school, as well as continuing flow. There's been, you know, if you look at a novice streamer, if you will, generally there's less like talking out loud, there's just kind of no flow, where if you want to grow as a streamer, the next step would be to talk about the game or talk about your life or to tell stories so that as people enter, you're keeping them engaged, you're keeping the flow going. And you need that flow not only for viewership, but to retain the viewership. And I, as I find with my Zoom, with my Zoomers, as I call them, you know, my Zoom classroom, if I'm not engaged, if I'm not able to go straight from one activity or one idea to the next, boom, I lose them. They're on Facebook or they're on Twitter or they got another tab open. And then the last thing I had to put on that is the full energy. You know, when you're on stream, again, a quote unquote novice streamer might be the person who's sitting back playing the game and just kind of not really talking much, where to grow, to engage, you need to have, you need to be energized. You need to be excited about what you're doing, because then you get the chat excited, because then you get the viewers excited. And I think you can talk a little bit about that energy and maybe the faces that we have to put on in education and while we stream.
Yeah, another thing that I definitely talk about is I put on the face, right? So for the last, anyone that doesn't know me, I'm remote teaching right now. I was selected to be part of our full remote option at my school. And so I teach 5 classes a day for 45 minutes. And I get about a 10-minute break in between each one, but it's really only about 5 minutes because I try to be in there 5 minutes early. What I do every single period before I get into that class is I sit up straight, I take a deep breath, and I give myself like a good, all right, and then I get right into it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like it's like that kickstart, that engage, you know what I mean? So I have to put myself into the zone, because if I come in there, I'm like, all right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to do attendance real quick, and then we'll get started with the lesson. Like, no, it's like, all right, who's here? Leslie's here. Awesome. Who else is here? Both Nevaehs. Let's go. And just, you have to be in that mood. And like, yeah, like sometimes it might be what they call cringe. It might be lame. It might be dorky, but there's nothing wrong with being a little dorky sometimes. If they're laughing at you a little bit, it's totally okay.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. I am known as just the cringe teacher. And I you know what's funny is because, you know, of course, that's a quote unquote negative word. But my kids say it with such endearment, like they wouldn't have it any other way. Like if Mr. Garcia wasn't so cringe, they wouldn't be having as much fun. And it's that relationship that you build, that engagement that gets them engaged, that gets them excited. Because my situation is I'm in person and online. And so if I'm, you know, there's so much uncertainty, you know, that my Zoom kids are wondering, are they missing out from not being in person? My kids in person are wondering, are we safe to be here? And so with all this stuff in mind, all these social, emotional, and educational things going on, you have to be able to give some energy and get them excited about what they're doing, or that just that dread might start to sink in. And, you know, there's no education is going to happen at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I know, at least in my district, the first 3 days and then the week after, they were basically like, listen, you're not doing any content. You need to make sure that everyone's learning how to use, like, the whether it's the Zoom or the Google Meet or whatever anyone else is using. They need to learn how to use Classroom again. You have to remember that, you know, again, here in Massachusetts, they haven't been in a classroom since May or March, actually. Sorry. So it's a big deal, and that's a long time. And I teach 6th and 8th graders, but I really right now I'm teaching 5th and 7th graders. They're not
for sure.
They're not at that age level yet.
No, I had a 6th grader who didn't know that you had to hold the shift key to capitalize letters, you know, and again, that could be written off as like, well, you know, lots of 6th graders know that, but I teach in a low income area. So this is like, for my kids, this is the first time they've had technology. And that's, you know, low income areas, that's a whole nother podcast right there. But I think the overall thing is you have to not only teach the content, which, you know, again, you're right. The first thing you have to learn is how to use the technology, how to log on, how to use the resources first before you can even start.
Yeah. And I think another, you know, we talk about Twitch as a resource. It's something that I, and this might be something that I share later on down the line once I get the project up and running. I want to be a Twitch streamer for my students as well. I've had that idea of having like a Mr. Benoit's Classroom Twitch account where I play games that are applicable to our content. So I might play like Civilization. I might play like story based games. And then I would let them
I mean, hey, I have to play Guitar Hero or something. Like, I'm thinking, if I did that, I was like, okay, well, I could do Guitar Hero or Rock Band.
Yeah. So that's something that I want to do later on down the line. And I'm still working on the project. I want to make all the assets. So like when they see it, they go, oh my gosh, you put a lot of work into this. I want to see what he's doing. But another resource that we can use besides Twitch is YouTube as content creators and as educators. So while I am extremely familiar with YouTube, spend most of my time consuming content on YouTube, I am not as familiar with the creator part of it. The most that I ever do is I do spoken word poetry. So I have a couple poems up on my YouTube. But besides that, which is basic video editing, I definitely don't know what it takes to be a YouTube content creator and what those connections are. So I'm actually really excited to hear from you on what you think kind of melds between those two.
Sure. So my YouTube started off the casual Jake, you know, YouTube was mostly commander deck text because that's what I was passionate about. You know, if you're ever going to do a YouTube channel and make content, always recommend do something that you're passionate about. It's just going to make the product better by virtue of you're excited about it.
Oh, for sure.
And with those deck techs, when I started, the first thing I said was, this is not going to be a subpar quality, you know, and there's lots of ways to do deck techs. I've seen people with just an overhead camera and they just go card by card. For me, I wanted more of the, like, let's say Command Quarter or the Talarian Academy one, where I'm showing, you know, cards on screen. I break down some strategies, which requires a lot of work. And when I did my first video, I didn't realize how much work it was make it look good. Right. And so I had to learn a whole new software and I would, you know, use YouTube to learn YouTube. I would YouTube how to do this. And I think I was using Lightworks, you know, how to do this in Lightworks. And the good thing about that is as I've developed that and I've gotten not only quicker, but more advanced in my skills, my content for my digital learners has grown immensely and has, you know, benefited because of it, because I understand how to use assets, how to drop certain assets over other assets in a video. For all kinds of stuff, just because I'm so familiar with editing, it makes my content good. And as a music teacher specifically, I'm able to record videos of rehearsals and edit them so that they can be used by my students who maybe can't join the Zoom. Because I also have asynchronous learners who just go off of that. So there's a big advantage that I've learned from editing. And my advice is just do it. You know, your first edit is not going to be your favorite. It just isn't. It's going to hold a special place because of the time, but it's not going to be your best work. And it's not supposed to. You should be getting better every time. And there's YouTube tutorials.
Share an anecdote about that. Some old videos of mine on YouTube from back in the day when I first got a capture card on an Xbox 360. And I'm trying to think. I actually don't remember how I made like a Battlefield 3 montage at one point, and it was horrible, right?
Was it like one of those where it's like everything was like a headshot and the camera was shaky?
No, I was like not even good color at the game. I just wanted to put the music behind stuff. It was great. I did like a Skate 3 montage, which I will say that montage was not good except for one moment, which was completely unplanned, where I'm climbing up a staircase and in the song, the guy goes rising to the top. And it was I was so hyped that I did that by accident. But I did a video comparing like, I think like it was like Skyrim graphics to Oblivion graphics or something like that. I don't even remember what the exact thing is, but the concept of cutting together clips wasn't something that even entered my mind. Like I knew it was something that people did, but I was like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know what software to use. I don't know how to use that software. So I had to, I literally cut it together. Like I did the exact same thing on both games. Like I went and I did my Skyrim thing, hit the dashboard button, went into Oblivion, waited for it to load. I did manage to speed that up somehow. I couldn't even tell you how. And so you have to do it. You can't have an I can't do it mindset. And I think that just like you said, you need to learn by doing.
Yeah. And you know, if you're worried about, you know, putting stuff out there, you don't have to share everything that you edit, you know, just edit some stuff together, edit, you know, I don't know, 5 cards out of a deck tech and say, okay, cool. And then see how you can edit that. And that could be something that the network is used for, that the educators network, you know, reaching out to people who have more experience with that sort of stuff and learning, or, you know, even hiring them if you have the resources. So editing a big part of the YouTube that's applicable to education, as I'm sure lots of people are recording lessons right now. Another thing that I want to talk about is just viewer engagement, making sure people watch your videos. I realized that my deck techs, though I love them, were somehow getting like less views, you know, these things that took me hours that I like slaved away at to make beautiful, were getting less views than when I would clip together like the stream highlights from my, you know, standard deck. And I was like, okay, why am I working so hard for this? And it was all about what was relevant. And I was making decks that people had already talked about. I was choosing commanders that have been out for years and they were just outdated. It was not relevant. No one needed a new, I'm trying to think of which one I built that was Grand Warlord Rada one.
I was thinking the Esper Life Gain guy. Aloro.
Right, Aloro. Yeah, if I make an Aloro deck tech, cool. There's not much that I can do that no one else has, you know? And so, but when I did like, you know, standard rogues, like people were like, oh, this is weird. This is cool. I could play this. You know, it was something that they could do. And so learning what kind of videos and what kind of content is going to engage your audience, our audience as teachers being our students, I realized that making my own videos, can be much, much more effective than using like pre-recorded stuff from YouTube. You know, I tried the first week where I would like, instead of to save myself time, I was like, well, I'll just use this lesson. It's the same concept, but it's someone else explaining it. And then the next week I was like, well, I just want to record some myself. I feel like making content. So I made some of me just with a pen and paper and a camera, you know, explaining some music theory. And I had so many comments like, oh, Mr. Garcia, it was so nice to hear you teach and we like you so much better. So it was about finding what worked for them. Now, I forgot what the channel was, but there is one channel that the kids really like on YouTube that explains stuff much better than me.
Is it Crash Course?
So I use them sometimes. I mix them in. I can't remember who it was.
I used Crash Course literally today, so I'm wondering if that's what it is. They have like a bunch of different guys depending on the topic. I used a Crash Course on the Hero's Journey today.
Oh, nice. I don't think it was them, but I'm going to have to check them out. It's a good resource.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, it's about finding the content and to put it in ways that work for the kids. Again, I was linking a lot of stuff in my first weeks of Canvas, where I realized I can start embedding it. And when I embedded it, it's there. I can see it. I don't have to go to another link. So it's all about finding basically what your viewers want to see and how what's going to engage them in the best way. Of course, you need to teach them the content you have to teach them, but you can kind of play with the ways that you're going to share that content, that you're going to teach that. And then the last one, just being visually and audioly sound with your stuff. You know, my kids are, especially being in the music world, I am very conscious of using a mic when I teach because the kids need to hear my voice when I model for them, especially in a young age. They need to hear a voice and then kind of say, oh, I'm going to do this. And so being a YouTube creator has made me really experienced with using advanced technology, using video stuff like that to give quality to my kids, because the kids can tell the difference between when you're doing the, when you're using the bare minimum and you're using like the basic software that's just kind of eh, and when you're using the good stuff, they can tell when you put in effort. And I find that putting a little bit of effort, recording on my Logitech webcam rather than my laptop, it takes 10 seconds and it makes my content that much better. Just like it makes my stream content better. You know, I don't stream off my laptop webcam. I stream off, you know, an extra webcam. So it's made me very, even if I don't have time for that, I'm very aware of those things. I'm like, is my audio clear? Is my video clear? Are all these things clear? Because it's going to create better engagement and it's going to work to my favor.
Yeah.
So that's some of the stuff that I think YouTube has. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to add anything for the YouTube?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think the big thing with viewer engagement is take notice, right? So on one of my first days when I was teaching my students, because the approach that I'm taking for my English class this year is I keep telling them, listen, English literature isn't just dead white guys, and it's not just dead white guys writing books and writing poems. So I wanted to show them that English and like the power of words kind of infiltrates every little part of their life. It's the stories in their video games. It's the music they listen to. It's the speeches that people might give on TV. And so one of the things that I told them was that I write poetry. And at the end of the class, they were like, we had like a little bit of extra time. I was like, oh, maybe I'll try to find something to show you online. Like, I'll show you an example of some of this poetry I'm talking about. And they're like, well, Mr. B, we want to see yours. I was absolutely not something that I was ever considering they would say. I was not ready for them to ask that. I had to do a quick like refresher of the only poem that I have online on YouTube. I was like, can I show that?
Right, is that okay?
it was definitely a little skeevy. It was written in the wake of some of the protests that happened this summer. It was a very social justice charged message. But I also, just like you, I'm teaching in a lower income district. I'm teaching in a higher minority population district. And I go, you know what? If these kids see that that's how I think, then they'll understand that that's the way that maybe we should all be thinking and be more inclusive and be more loving.
Right, and if I can, just yeah. as a minority, as a Hispanic Latine identifying person, I always appreciated teachers that shared stuff like that sentiment. And it didn't have to be so much that they just outright said, these are my any kinds of views or whatever. But just knowing that you have an ally and an authority figure can be so comforting. And so it's just going to improve your learning environment. So kudos to you for being vulnerable.
Absolutely. I think, and you know, the other interesting thing about all teachers is we've all been students and we've all been teachers mm-hmm. at this point. So we yeah. all knew back in high school, middle school, we knew who the teachers were that might have had some iffy social opinions. And we all knew the teachers yeah. that we felt safe around and we felt comfortable around. And I absolutely yeah. don't ever want to be in that former category. I want to be in that latter sure. category. And I think a big part of that too, right, is keeping myself even keel. And especially yeah. with everything that we're going through right now, one of the best ways that I think we can do that is definitely through the idea of wellness and self-care and also modeling that for our students. Mm-hmm. Teaching super stressful. We're planning. I'm literally, after we're done recording this and we're done recording anything else we need to do, I have to make a slideshow for tomorrow because yeah. I am a perfectionist and I switch my lesson about 20 times a day. I've decided what I'm going to do tomorrow and I'm going to stick with it, but I need to make a slideshow for it. So teaching is super stressful. So you need to remember to decompress. One of the things I have to tell tons of teacher friends this all the time is I understand you're busy and I understand you think you have a lot of work that you need to do. You need to prioritize the things that you need for tomorrow and maybe the next day or things that need to get done. But then after that, you need to give yourself some time. And I think that's something that you sure. definitely feel super passionate about.
I am. And I'm a big advocate for not only my students, but for teachers as well. And I think it's very easy for teachers to feel the weight of the world on their shoulders. And in a sense, we do. We have a responsibility to educate these young minds and to make them, you know, the future leaders, the future, all these things, and even just the future citizens of the world.
For sure.
But that being said, we cannot pour into a glass when we are empty. You know, it's an old expression. I know.
What a teacher. Right, exactly. What a teacher. I've heard thing, it so many times this year.
I know. And as cheesy as it sounds, I wish it's not that it's untrue. People say it for a reason. You know, if you are not fulfilled in yourself, then you're just, you know, then you can't do right by the students. It's so funny. I think young people are so aware of things. So they can be so acutely aware of emotions and your feelings. So if you come in drained and just not wanting to be there, the kids will know and they will feed off of that energy and either act out or, you know, also be unenergized and unenthused to be there. So that's something to think about. So the ways that I like to decompress, like you said, you're going to be getting off of this and working on a slideshow. Good for you. I am going to turn off everything and I'm going to watch a movie with my girlfriend. So I always recommend finding a non-work related hobby. The reason I say non-work related is there are some people like me who are a musician. And so music can also be a hobby, you know, watching, you know, historical things could also be a hobby for you, or social things that are related to the social studies and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I try to say finding things that are just not related at all to your content area, not related to teaching, just something that you can do. A big thing that I do also is cooking. I truly do enjoy cooking as well as you need to eat, which we'll get to. So if I'm feeling kind of, I try a new recipe. And I explore in the kitchen and I kind of just make a mess and I try something new and usually it turns out pretty okay. But, you know, I just enjoy my time in the kitchen. So that's my time to kind of decompress, let myself do something. I'm a really active person. I don't like to do nothing. So rather than forcing myself to do nothing and being miserable, I give myself things that are interesting that make me a more well-rounded person, but also alleviate stress. You know, we can go down the list, gardening, this, that. Do you have any suggestions or anything that you do on your own?
Yeah. So I am what I like to call an escapist de-stressor. Most of my de-stressing hobbies involve in some way escaping from, however you want to put it, reality or challenges of the day. So for example, last Thursday, I didn't have a bad day, but it was, you know, the week was winding down. Was just trying to get through. And I came home. I have about, I think, 4 books that I bought within the last few weeks that I've been trying to read. I read 18 books during quarantine. I was very pleased with that. Reading is my number one de-stressing
Good for you.
Yeah. Reading is my number one.
Putting us to shame. those who just watch Netflix and ate Cheetos.
Man. Oh, trust me, I do that too. But reading is my number one de-stressing hobby besides gaming, probably. But even then, sometimes just a book by yourself in a quiet room is, for me, it will do wonders. So I actually read all of Trevor Noah's book, Born a Crime, in one night. I got home at like 3, finished it by 11. It was fantastic. And I just felt like, it felt like everything had evaporated off of me. So that's me recognizing that reading is probably my number one de-stressor. Playing games with my friends is probably like 1.5. Like, it's right behind there.
Right.
And it's just, I think that that's the biggest thing, is you need to recognize what you need to do to de-stress.
It's going to be different for everyone.
Oh, for sure.
So finding that for yourself. And this, again, something that's kind of variant for other people, but I wrote in social time in our notes because I think there's a time. Now, I understand there's people who like to who relax by not being around people, by not being in social situations. I think it's kind of hard to imagine someone without any social interaction. But finding the social time and the interaction that works for you. Me, I'm a very, very social person. So quarantine has been killing me. I'm the kind of person, I like to go to coffee shops and read and score study and make a new best friend. You know, I'll just find someone who's drinking a cup of coffee and I'll just start talking to them about life, about whatever, about their hair or anything. I love that kind of stuff. Maybe I'm a weirdo. I don't know.
I love people.
You know, I always think about that. My girlfriend makes fun of me. She's like, you could, like every time I go out, she's like, so did you make a new best friend? I said, you know what? I did. And I'm not mad about it, you know? But, you know, so for me, social time has been, like you said, video games, even just video chats. I've had so many like FaceTime coffee dates with my friends and it just feels so good. To kind of, it feels funny because it feels like we're faking, you know, being in person, faking this, but it's like, it's real. And you feel that real connection. Just having, for me, having a warm cup of coffee in my hand, sitting at my dining room table, talking to a friend, I feel I can just transport myself to the coffee shops that we used to visit together, that where we used to gossip, where we used to complain about our professors in grad school. So find what works for you and find ways to connect. It's never going to be the same when you can't be in person, especially with COVID. I'm not saying, you know, skirt any protective measures that you can make or, you know, have a party or anything like that, but find ways to connect digitally. It's not going to be the same, but I still think that it's important.
Yeah, it is for sure. And just like recognizing that we all have different ways that we de-stress, we all have different passions, right? And I think teachers are some of the most passionate people that you'll ever meet. I've always thought of, I don't even know what TV show it was. It was like a sitcom. But there is this moment where one of the main characters was out with a group of her, with one of her friends. And then her friend, who was a teacher, had a bunch of her colleagues there. And they're at a restaurant. They're having a good time. You know, they're kind of partying. And the main girl goes, well, she's a teacher, really? And then the friend asks her like an educational question. And it's like a switch was flipped. And she goes on this whole thing about, you know, teaching kids and educational strategies and what's best for the kid, what's best for the student, what's best for them to learn, and content and pedagogy, which is a word that I absolutely despise, by the way. I hate it so much. It's so pretentious. I hate that word.
Yeah.
But it's the idea that a teacher is a person who you're not a half-baked teacher. If you are a teacher, you're in it and you get how to be a teacher and you know how to be a teacher and you're a good teacher. You didn't get it. Yeah. You didn't get into it for the money. You didn't get into it for the recognition because we both know that that is not something that we get very often.
Nope.
So they get in it for their passion, right? And I think that utilizing and leveraging your passion as a teacher to and in front of your students is something that's very valuable.
For sure. In fact, I think that I would even say that when your students see your passions, that they feel better about their own, that you know, admitting and showing your passion enables them to pursue theirs.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, we're talking specifically, this is an education and magic podcast, and magic is one of those hobbies that may or may not be seen as a little bit nerdy, a little bit geeky, and kids that have hobbies like that often feel excluded and they feel ostracized. And that's something that I have told myself that consistently I will work against that. Like, I know teachers who have done things that they consider nerdy or geeky and they won't tell their kids. But I got up in front of them on the first day, a bunch of them who probably consider themselves rather street tough or streetwise. And I said, listen, I play card games. I like anime. I like video games. I'm a huge Nintendo fanboy. And that's okay. I also can talk basketball. I can talk football. I can talk politics. I can talk hip hop. I know all of these things, right? These are all things that I'm passionate about. So now all of those students who, granted, some of those are more mainstream, all of those students that like those things, they're more likely to talk about it now. And then through that, we might get a little bit something else, which I think you can talk about a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was just talking, you know, to go off of that, I talked to my students about, you know, they think I'm a classical music buff and whatnot. And the first day they came in, I was listening to some hip hop, and I was listening to some, it was a rapper who does clean hip hop. His name's No Big Deal. But like, they still heard the beat and everything. They're like, Mr. Garcia, what are you listening to? And I was like, oh, this is a rapper that I really enjoy. And it just kind of opened that connection that, no, I'm not exactly what you perceive. But then I also, again, like you said, I play card games, I play video games. And it's funny because then you see some of those kids who you wouldn't think. Like, I had a kid who is the football star, and he's like, yo, you like anime? I said, yeah, I watch a little anime. He's like, I really love anime. You know, it's just because I was open with him.
Yeah.
He felt comfortable. We were probably the first people he publicly admitted to in my choir that he enjoyed anime. And so having that is just incredible. And, you know, when you have people in your life that you look up to, that you see them doing these things, you can definitely feel more comfortable about yourself. And even with that, they're going to be more likely to speak to their friends and their families about these things.
Right. So I think that teachers, our job as mentors, is we're supposed to model inclusion and acceptance and all of that. Mm-hmm. So because of that, if they see, well, Mr. B or Mr. Garcia like anime, they might say, oh, well, I watched One Piece last night. And then another kid who they might not have even talked to this kid in their entire life says, oh, I love One Piece. And now they have a connection. So now they're getting more social involvement. They're now maybe friends now, right? And so that's something that I've actually witnessed firsthand as recent as this week that's happened, that kids I haven't seen interact in the first 2 weeks of school are now talking, right? The kid that has a My Hero picture on Google Meet was having a conversation about One Punch Man with the kid with an XXXTentacion picture. Like, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, right? If we as teachers model this inclusion and acceptance and say, well, yeah, people like anime, people like hip hop, people like sports, people like video games, people like dance, people like all of these different things, then they'll just go, oh, okay, that's how it is. People like different things, and that's what it should be, right? And that's the whole thing, is the teachers, we're these like landmarks of society where you can't find someone in society that hasn't interacted with a teacher at least once in their life. More often than not, I think on average, people probably have, what, upwards of 20 teachers in their entire lifetime if they graduate high school, which is, that's a lot of adults that they interact with for a long period of time. So I think that it's such an important job that we do. And I think that there are a lot of lessons that we can take from magic, and that magic can take from education, and content creators can take from all of that. And we can become those mentors and role models that we really want to be. And I think that's honestly what made me the most excited for this Educators Network.
Yeah. You know, this is crazy to think that we're starting something that has the potential to reach so many people, to influence, to impact so many people. And, you know, like you said, these, you know, just like we might encourage the kids to reach out, who knows what teachers are going to reach out to us and say, hey, I didn't ever think there was something like this. I want to be a part of that. You know, I hope that we make new friends, that we make new colleagues and people that we share interest with. And I've already seen on our server where it's not just magic. People are talking about their pets. We have a whole furry friends, you know, sub channel because people were just wanting to talk about their pets. And yeah, I love my dog, so I joined up too, you know?
I'm so jealous too. You're going to. My dad's allergic to both pets, and I still live, both animals. So I still live at home, and I can't have a pet just yet. But we're almost there.
We're almost there. Well, this is only the first of many episodes, hopefully, to come. You know, it's going to be me and it's going to be, I'm sorry, blah, I'm speaking over my mind. I'm going to cut that. It's going to be me and Connor here, going to be bringing you stuff, but we're not going to be the focus. You know, it's going to be really focused on the people that we bring in, this perspectives, and really just making sure that we rotate in good ideas. But Connor, before we finish up here, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you on the social medias and how they can connect to you and your content?
Yeah, for sure. I think the best way that people could probably find me is through Twitter and Twitch. I'm on Twitter as Tyto, T-Y-T-O, Parliament, like the UK government. It's a Parliament of Owls. Tyto is a name for a barn owl. That's kind of my whole branding thing. My nickname is Tyto. It's what my friends all call me. It's my screen name. And that's also what I am on Twitch as well. So that's Tyto Parliament, no spaces. You see the owl logo, you know you found the right guy.
There you go. Yeah, it's quite smart looking. Actually, now that I'm looking at the logo and looking at you face to face here on webcam, like the resemblance is striking.
It's great because it's got the little Spartan helmet thing. That was the one direction I gave them is I want a barn owl face with a Spartan helmet aesthetic because it gets like that history and the owl in there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it. And then just for my socials, you can find me on Twitter at Jake Casual. And then pretty much everywhere else you find, just because I had Twitter had to be the one different thing that didn't have this one, it's going to be casual_Jake_. That's my Instagram. That's my Twitch. If you just type in casual Jake, you'll find me. It's a little white. It's a little circle with a white background. And then you see like glasses, some suave looking hair and some magic cards there. You'll find the right logo right there. Speaking of which, we probably need to work on getting the network some socials here too. So maybe me and Connor can discuss that after this, because we'd love to drop a social link for that. But until then, maybe I'll add that in like at the end here if we can figure that out after this. But I think this is a pretty good wrap up for an episode one.
Yeah, I think so too. Honestly, I was looking at our show notes and I was like, man, this could either be less than 45 minutes or go way over an hour. I have absolutely no idea. And I'm looking at my timer right now and I have 46. So that's pretty solid.
Hey, we did it. Look at us. And believe me, that like many good teachers, we do have a lesson plan in front of us that we were working off of, making sure that we stay on track, monitor our minutes and whatnot. So I wish we had a cool catchphrase. We'll work. Oh, we do have a catchphrase. So I guess for the MTG Educators Network, I'm Casual Jake.
I'm Connor, aka Taito.
And just remember that teachers make magic. Have a good day, everyone.